welcome to Podcast with Puti, a new automotive podcast series hosted by myself, Puti Mpiane. I'm a motoring journalist with Business Day Motor News. You can also catch me on Ignition GT at times. In studio with us is the first black CEO or MD of Nissan South Africa, Mr. Kabelo Rabut. We'll be talking to him about his appointment, his company, and other fun things. Today is the first show, and our first guest is none other than Mr. Kabelo Rabut. Welcome.
Hi, Puti. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. Listen, quick one. Your title, I think we'll start with that. It says Head of Country, Nissan South Africa. Could you just elaborate on
okay.
that?
Okay. It's Country Director for Nissan South Africa. That's a title that we use now in AMIO. AMIO being Africa, Middle East, India, Europe and Oceania, referring to the heads of countries, what normally would be a managing director in the more traditional title would be.
It would be an MD.
Yeah.
So it's okay if I call you MD?
It's fine. It's fine. You can go with MD.
The MD of Nissan South Africa. Yeah. This is massive. This is absolutely massive. I haven't seen you in a while. I hope you've been well.
I'm doing great. And yeah, it's been a long time. I think the last time we met was before COVID.
Yes, way before COVID. And you had a different title then.
I was the marketing director for Nissan South Africa at the time.
What a journey, sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I have to admit, I don't know when you went up to the big office, and maybe tell us how that went. It was so quick.
Yeah. Well, I joined Nissan in December 2016. And in December 2020, that's when I was promoted into the position of country director.
That is smack in the middle of COVID.
It was just before. Yeah, actually, it was at the beginning of COVID. I think in at that time, China was the story about COVID, but the rest of the world was still trying to understand what was happening. Yeah.
Unbelievable. You know, as we do this, we thought we wanted to go behind the scenes, you know, with the people. I mean, how does a CEO or MD start? This is new to you. Everything is new. Even COVID made things new. I mean, you didn't have what you call is a benchmark to fall back on in terms of how to run a company in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, no, that has been the biggest challenge. I think when I was promoted at the time, it was business as usual. The market was not yet all around the world. We were hearing about the situation happening in China, but we didn't expect what then happened after that. So it was not one of the dynamics that I was actually
prepared for,
one. But secondly, I don't think any of the leading or leaders of business were prepared for what actually transpired. It brought in challenges. However, we maneuvered through them and we learned through the process. So yeah, now I can say I've learned through COVID, I've managed through COVID, and now we are sustaining and trying to recover out of that.
Unbelievable. You know, just Nissan as a company, obviously, looking at how you navigate through a situation. But I also looked at your products. It's a vehicle company, right? Now, this is a bit of a fun stuff because the Japanese companies compared to the German ones, they tend to also have a playful side. So talk to me about self-parking chairs, golf balls, and slippers. And
yeah, innovation is in the heart of what Nissan does. We always look at opportunities to try and make people's lives better. We look at whether we can actually make things a bit easier for everybody. So we use technology or innovation to try and push the limits and the boundaries and bring to market new things. So yes, moving chairs, moving cars, all those they allow us to learn about how actually you can enhance and improve people's lives. So it's part of the learning process in innovation.
So I guess it's a way of leveraging technology and sharing between the products that you all do. If you can learn how to make slippers park themselves underneath your bed, you could probably now make sure that the car parks itself better in the garage.
Yeah,
that kind of
app? Most definitely. But also, I think more importantly, is enriching people's lives means that you are part of their lives throughout. And you try and also make it easier because as we grow older, we're going to need assistance. And in many cases, people do not have people that they live with who looks after them. So why not provide technology and start leading and trying to showcase what's possible out there?
Fantastic stuff. stuff. I mean, and the way you guys just do sort of, you know, you're quite adventurous as a company. You know, I came across Shui by Nissan.
Yep.
Now, that is something else. I was like, okay, what else are you guys doing now? Shui by Nissan, can you just give us a bit of a background on that?
Well, when Shui as a concept started, we looked at how do we actually make things that we use on a day-to-day basis relevant, but also appreciate and celebrate the languages that we have as South Africans. And so Shui was where we took Waze and actually started in it to put languages like what we would Zulu as one to say, why don't you get directions in your own language?
Let's why be not?
As a proud South African and also to showcase the richness of our languages. So the idea being to expand and introduce as many South African languages and as make possible. That as possible. Yeah, from using your slang, which is quite awesome. I don't know if you've tried it, but it's quite interesting how it gives directions.
I should absolutely try it. But I mean, you are obviously in the background in terms of making this happen. Now, how easy is it to come up with such mergers or collaborations with multinationals such as those guys who do Waze?
Yeah. It's there's a lot of work that goes into that, but I think when you've got a concept that can work and you've got an idea that is out there, which is different and makes a difference, everybody's willing to listen. And that's what the team did. We're willing to put and push forward to say, can we try something else instead of just using one language to be able to give directions?
And in that situation, who puts in the money on the table? Is it Nissan or is it Waze that says, okay, you are enhancing our product or... how does that work?
Yeah, we contribute into the cost of doing that, because remember, we're also using it as a platform to communicate Nissan's innovation, because innovation is not only about the slippers and the chairs and the cars, but also it's about how you actually, as I said, you're enriching life and how you're becoming more relevant. So we also contribute in the cost.
It is about relevance.
Mm-hmm.
This is South Africa. If you have just tuned in, I am with Kabelo Raboto, Nissan SA MD. I'm choosing MD. I'm going with MD.
Go for it.
Not country governor or whatever. MD. Listen, man, it's been quite an interesting roller coaster ride. When you were marketing director, there was no new Navara. Mm-hmm. And within a very short space of time, there's Navara. But all of a sudden, there's also an expansion into Africa. Specifically, I've got an excerpt here. It says, the president of Ghana, Dankwash Akufo-Addo, I'm sure you know him, officially opened the brand new state-of-the-art Nissan Navara assembly plant in Tema outside Accra today. Wait, we know we have a Nissan plant here in Harankua.
Mm-hmm.
Ghana, when did that happen? And what's the vision behind that?
Yeah, as Nissan, I mean, we firstly, let's start with Navara. I think Navara has been a great introduction. We worked on the product for many years before it was actually introduced or launched in South Africa. So at that time, yes, while I was marketing director, it was always a project I was working on. With regard to expansion, we have... currently the only manufacturer with two fully owned manufacturing facilities in Africa, one in South Africa, Roslyn, where the Navara is being produced. And then we've got Egypt, where we produced what we call Almera or Sunny. That's a product that they use. And with regard to Ghana, we have DKD operations, which is a knockdown, a bit of semi-knockdown kind of operation, which we have in Nigeria and Ghana. So what we're doing is the vehicle is produced in South Africa. We then ship a broken down element of a vehicle, we send it to Ghana and they assemble. Why is that? Because Ghana has ambitions and as Nissan also believe quite strongly in industrialization of Africa. In a number of activities that we do with AAAM, which is the African Association of Automobile Manufacturers.
Mm.
So Ghana is looking at growing automotive as a sector. It's a good hub, and that's what we're doing to be able to ensure that we've got footprint and able to then leverage the policies and government incentives that are in those particular countries.
It's quite an interesting venture going into the rest of the continent. But are you sort of putting South Africa on the back burner? Look, we've got some serious baki wars here. You know, we are a country that loves bakis, and we have to ask. Look, there's Toyota, there's Isuzu, which is quite fresh. Mm-hmm. how are you dealing with that pressure? It's a huge race.
No, it is indeed a race. I think one thing about the automotive sector, which I find quite fascinating and why I'm still in this industry, is that there is continuous competition and everybody brings in a new product. Imagine if you're doing dishwashers. I mean, a dishwasher is only a dishwasher and it can only do so much. Yeah. Whereas cars are always evolving and the technology improves quite a lot. So yes, it is a race, but we have a state-of-the-art product, which we also bring into market to be able to compete. And the African continent is important to us purely because we're producing and focusing on Africa as our growth being the last frontier of automotive, because motorization in Africa still remains the lowest compared to other parts of the world.
Indeed. And another very important subject when it comes to South Africa's dynamics is agriculture. Bakkies and agriculture go together. You know, they're like, hey, together, you know. And I see you also have some interesting programs when it comes to I suppose food security where South Africa is concerned. You've got a sort of agreement with the National Empowerment Fund to support agribusinesses.
Yeah, business is quite important, and you're right. When it comes to agriculture, food security is critical to us. And as in being relevant, exactly for that reason, is that we look at sectors that are more relevant for us to participate, but also critical for the growth of this economy. But agriculture has been the backbone of Africa and South Africa for many years. Mm. And we need to still continue pushing that, because yes, we've got mining. Our products go into every sector. However, yes, food security is the number one, I think, sector that we need to still protect.
Wonderful. And speaking of very crucial situation in South Africa, the electric revolution. Mm. That's a big one, isn't it?
It is indeed. It is indeed. I think that when we look around the world, a lot of other markets have developed and have gone very electrified. We're still now going into that particular stage, and we will grow.
But Joang, because you started with the Leaf, and the next thing, you took it away. It's like, it feels like a U-turn while the tide is going the same direction. You let the direction, and then you make a U-turn. What happened there with the Leaf?
Yeah, well, yes, we were pioneering in introducing Leaf in South Africa, but also pioneering globally, because we were the first manufacturer to produce electric vehicles at large scale or mass production. Mm. So when we introduced the Leaf, was one for educational purposes. We brought Leaf into South Africa so that we can start educating the market, at the same time also engage with government so that they can see where the future was going, which is quite important. We didn't do a U-turn. I think the market was not ready at the time. Mm-hmm. Like any other invention, sometimes certain things work and don't work. But I think we're now moving in that direction. Policy is still quite critical in order to ensure that electric vehicles can succeed, because we know that in developed markets, policy is quite critical. Demand creation is important. Infrastructure is quite important. So at this stage, I think the market is moving in the right direction. Government has released a white paper for everybody to comment with regard to new energy vehicles. And we will then be back with our own electric vehicles.
Well, let's hope so, because some South Africans seemingly are not buying to this. I mean, as the MD of the company, mm-hmm. I mean, are you seeing that? What are you doing in making sure that the person on the street sort of is with the game, you know, is with the electric cars? Right now, there's a lot of resistance to EVs, especially where consumers are concerned.
Yeah, I think it's more around education, more than just people resisting. Firstly, understanding that electric vehicles, when they originally started, range anxiety was the biggest thing, purely because, one, there's no infrastructure, and secondly, you can't drive too far, and you then become quite anxious about that. So there is a lot of work that's going behind the scenes with regard to infrastructure. I think the technology has improved quite significantly over the years, to the extent that you can now drive for much longer distances than we used to in the past. That's the second thing. And then the other thing is that policy is quite critical, because if you were to buy a hatchback or even a sedan,
a quid,
or any car, well, if you were to buy a normal, what we call an internal combustion engine vehicle, which is your petrol vehicle, versus an electric vehicles will be very expensive, because the duty structure in South Africa is not encouraging the adoption of electric vehicles. But government has already put a policy in place or a discussion document in place so that we can then discuss how do we accelerate the adoption and acceptance of electric vehicles. We're seeing that happening in Europe and many other parts of the world.
While we're seeing that adoption, it's quite interesting to notice that the European market, seemingly is working on a different wavelength to the Japanese market. Mm-hmm. The Japanese market, which is where Nissan comes from, they are still pushing hybrid. They're pushing sort of, we're not fully off the grid like that. Whereas the European ones are going full on electric in countries like Norway, Germany, and all that. Now, the question is, where does South Africa will feature in this kind of interesting, Japan says we are hybrid, Europe says we are fully electric. How is it going to trickle down to us?
Yeah.
As dependence on fossil fuels and resistors of electric vehicles.
Yeah, I don't think Japan can classify it as purely focusing on hybrid technologies. If you look at Ambition 2030, which Nissan actually unveiled early in the year, where it talks to the fact that we want to increase the mix of electric vehicles to up to 50% of what we sell by 2030, it shows that there will be adoption. We've also launched Sakura in Japan, which is an electric vehicle. So there will be vehicles that will be introduced. I think if it comes to South Africa or even African continent, I think there will be a transition into electric vehicles. For Nissan's case, e-power technology is what we see as being that transitional stage before you get to full electric vehicles. One, which is you get the same experience of driving an electric car, and that the car is driven permanently, but with an electric by electric motor, and you just have an internal combustion engine that then
recharges
the electric motor. So that would be you move from your normal internal combustion, you then move into technologies like either hybrid technology or e-power, which is more advanced than a hybrid technology, then you would go into electrification. So I think the masses would move in that direction, and we're already seeing that transition happening.
What an interesting tale. And thank you again for coming through today. This is the 1st of August today.
It is.
Which makes it Women's Month. Happy Women's Month to all the ladies out there listening. It also signals another very interesting time for you as CEO, MD. Mm-hmm. Wage negotiations. How's it going? Those negotiations?
Well, we've started with the National Bargaining Forum, and we already are going through a list of the topics that have been put forward or the demands that have been put forward to whittle them down to a few areas of discussion. So we're now at the probably in the middle or early to middle stage of negotiation. So we still have a way to go in order to be able to reach a conclusion.
I think the union says it wants 20%. You got 20% for
that? Well, we've noted the demand, but I think that's what negotiations are about. We will reach an amicable settlement at some point.
It's a fascinating time as well, because I wonder if even in Europe, they go through the same motions that we go through every year or whatever. Do you also find that in Japan, there's also these wage negotiations as well?
No, I think it depends on markets around the world. Some have much more have a unionized environment, others not necessarily as strong as we have in South Africa. And normally these agreements are three-year agreements. So we would have a sitting every 3 years and then negotiate. And then we have an agreement that lasts for 3 years and then we negotiate again.
Yes. So you're confident they will go well this time?
Well, I am. Yeah, I'm quite positive. I think we all have an interest to grow the automotive sector to ensure that we remain sustainable as an operation and become competitive globally, because we export out of South Africa. Mm. And I think we will reach an agreement that is ensuring that we can continue.
Wonderful, because if workers don't work, then there's no production and there's no money, which brings us to products. That day, Rabot. Whew. We are waiting for the cash car. We are waiting for, I think it's the your bigger SUV, the big brother to the X-Trail.
Yeah,
I mean.
Okay. Well, let me. We're about to launch Qashqai within the next 8 weeks.
There you go.
Or less.
That's a scoop right here.
So most definitely we're working hard. We will start with the introduction of internal combustion engines and then introduce e-power technology as well.
So you're going to bring the e-power one with e-power.
Yeah.
So that's the hybrid kind of vibe?
Well, it's much more advanced than hybrid technology, because remember the car is driven permanently powered permanently by an electric motor. So it's almost like EV with range extender.
It's all about making sure that fuel consumption is low, it will extend the driving range.
Yeah.
Which obviously right now we are battling with high fuel prices.
Yeah.
You know? That's fantastic. And then what's the story with Aria? Are we going to be having that kind of? Are you looking at Aria for South Africa?
Yeah, we're studying the vehicle for introduction. Yeah. We'll share details in the coming years.
And the Aria is a SUV kind of
Aria, type thing? Yeah, Aria, it's actually it's a crossover SUV which we introduced around the world, particularly in Japan, Europe, and it's a full electric vehicle. It's our flagship with regard to electric vehicles.
It's a flagship type thing. I see. Wonderful. I know when you guys bring whatever, you will be doing some interesting specifications. I never forget the dog pack on the X-Trail. That's a pack that you get if you're a dog owner. And you have, in fact, come to think of it, that's the last time that I saw you when you were launching that interesting X-Trail that had a ramp. It like you got for pets to eat. So yeah, it's quite incredible what Nissan does. I like how the company makes cars, but also plays around. I think it's also typical of Japanese, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because your neighbors Honda would play in the robot space, whereas even Toyota would also play with robotization and all that. When are we seeing such fun get into South Africa?
No, we will bring the fun. I think, as I say, one thing about our market is we like to pioneer, and we will look at opportunities to pioneer some of those technologies, but it must be relevant and it must be a necessary technology to bring into market. The African culture, we still want about togetherness. It's not always that you'd find granny living alone. That's unlikely to happen in our world. So we're still a very family unit, a family and societal culture rather than individualistic one.
Wonderful. While we're still on family, we did touch on the fact that it is Women's Month.
Yeah.
So we've got our own plans internally in terms of how we celebrate it. Maybe share how you as Nissan, the papa of Nissan, do they call you number one there? Just checking.
No, actually, I don't know what's my nickname.
Number one.
Don't refer to me as Kabelo.
You know what I mean? So the idea is, what are you doing for Women's Day? What are you doing for women in general as Nissan South Africa?
Yeah, I think one of the things that as a company we're driving quite strong is diversity and inclusion. One of the biggest topics that we will be handling within Women's Month, it's ensuring that the women's rights, one in the workplace, but also their relevance in a home environment, are also topics that we address, but also see where we can participate and engage to be able to ensure there's a better improvement and ensuring that we have, one, not only representation in terms of women within the company, but also that it's diverse, it's inclusive, we understand. I mean, we've got rooms for ladies to probably like express at some point, or resting areas, understanding the dynamics of being a mother relative to how it is in a factory being male. Yeah.
Indeed. And then from a management perspective, because that's quite a big, a serious issue, that one, where it's not just from a woman empowerment perspective, we're looking at BBB as well.
Yep.
I mean, How are you pushing on that level?
Yeah, we're pushing to drive transformation and diversity, even at leadership level, looking at people that we promote, particularly within internally. Sometimes great people move on, but it creates opportunity for other people to grow. So that's what we're driving.
Fabulous. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you tell us more about Nissan and all that. Maybe the last question I'm going to ask you, and I hope you don't jump out of your chair. Have you met Carlos Ghosn?
No, I didn't. I came after the Ghosn.
Oh, you came after the Ghosn saga.
No. He was still CEO when I joined, but I never had an opportunity to meet him face-to-face or on a one-to-one.
Wonderful. If you don't know who Carlos Ghosn is, do yourself a favor. Google it. It's a fascinating tale of a CEO. But yes, thank you very much for your time, your insights, and yeah, hope to see more of you in the future going forward, and hope to see more products. Thank you.
Thank you, Puti, for having me. And yes, definitely we will keep you informed. Watch this space.